tonight what I want to do is I really, more than anything, I want to convince you that you need to learn these biblical principles so that you can apply them to your life. And here's the title: Learning and Applying Principles About Influence, Association, and Identity. All right, three areas: learning and applying principles about influence, association, and identity. We'll get you some scripture verses, some Bible illustrations to understand just how important this is. But here's first some questions. I'll talk to parents first. If you're not a parent, pretend like you're a parent. All right? Three young ladies in the front row, help me out with this. Just pretend, all right? Just think through this. Think into the future, far into the future, right? And I want you to think through this. Is your child allowed to play with another kid who smokes? Think about that. Maybe they are, maybe they're not, but I want you to think through this. Would you allow your children, if you know that one of the other kids in the neighborhood, maybe you've got a 12-year-old, there's another 12-year-old down the street, and you know that he smokes, are you going to let your kids play with him, all right? What if he's 15? What if he's 16? 18? 20? All right, so there's some questions here to start thinking through. Do you allow your children to play with other kids who curse at their parents? For those of you that are from Texas, do you let your children play with other kids who cuss at their parents, all right? Make sure we're on the same page here. I mean, would you? The kid down the street, he uses bad language, and not just that he uses it, but at his parents, and you know that. Would you let your kids play with him? Now remember, we're talking about principles about influence, association, and identity. Would you allow your son to date a girl who dresses seductively or immodestly? Think about this. Would you let him date that girl? Well, I'm going to let you make that decision. Do you want your son or your daughter to hang out with the rebellious kid who's always getting expelled from school and getting in trouble with the police? I mean, is that the kid we want our kids spending time with and hanging out with? Now, if the answer to any of that is no, the next question would be why? Why not? Well, because there is this thing called influence. There's a very real truth that teaches us, and we'll see it all through scriptures, that the people that you hang around influence who you are. You become, this is not a Bible verse, but it's a principle that we get from the Bible. You become like those people that you spend time with. So, would you let your son or daughter hang out with the rebellious kid? He's getting expelled from school. He's getting in trouble with the police. Now, let me build on that a little bit. If the answer to that is no, let me throw you a curveball and say, but what if that kid is an A student? What if he's a really good student, but he gets expelled from school, he gets in trouble with the police? What's your answer now? That doesn't change anything for me. What if he's very popular? What if he's the best ball player on the team? And now we're thinking, this guy is a handsome honk. He's a starter on the basketball team. Maybe we should, you know, allow our kids to hang out with him just for that reason. But he's still a rebellious kid. Just some thoughts. How would you feel about your daughter dating him? Would you care if his pants were always sagging and his underwear was showing? Right? He's a straight-A kid, you know? He's got a couple things going for him. What if he wore a suit and a tie? What if he was the pastor's son? Does that change anything? It doesn't. He's a rebellious kid. He's getting expelled from school. He's getting in trouble with the police. What if he was respectful to you most of the time and he went to church? I'm seeing visions of Eddie Haskell, right? If you remember Leave It to Beaver, troublemaker that was always very respectful in the right situation so he wouldn't get in trouble. So here's what you're doing. As a parent, you're forced to weigh hundreds of interrelated factors and make judgment calls, hopefully that are based on principles. Here's what you're doing. Brother Reed, thanks for bringing these up here for me. You're untangling hangers. You ever try to do that? Oh, one of the most frustrating things is to reach into your closet and try to grab a hanger out, but it's stuck on one of the other hangers in there. And maybe you don't get frustrated at this. You start shaking things, you start pulling things, knocking things off. It's frustrating. Untangling, hey, well, what's the problem? Well, they're all interrelated. If I pull on this hanger, it's touching this hanger over here. And I can't just untangle these without them touching something else. It's a mess. This is life. You can't just look at life and say, this is an easy decision, because this decision affects this decision. If you look at a kid and say, well, he's a straight-A student, then you can hang out with him. If you make a rule for your kids that says, you can only hang out with straight-A students, what if he's a rebel? What if he got his straight-A's by cheating, right? What if you say you can only hang out with the kids that dress right, but they're a rebel at heart? So you can't just look at it and say, this is going to be simple. Let's just give you a couple rules. What you need to do is, I want to challenge you this evening, is I want to challenge you to get into the Word of God, find the principles that will help you untangle this mess of life, and find the principles that will help you understand what to do. Now, these situations that we talked about, they seem like they're not really related. I mean, the Bible doesn't say anything about A students or basketball stars or sagging pants and boxers. The Bible doesn't say anything about any of those things. But the Bible does have an answer for this scenario. What would you do? You must learn to discern the answer by understanding and applying principles about influence. And that's where we're going tonight. We've got to learn, it's not just about rules. It's about learning the principles, getting into the Bible. What does the Bible say? And the Bible's not going to say anything about a straight-A student. Basketball, as I understand, is not in the Bible, although tennis was in the Bible. If I remember that Joseph served in Pharaoh's court, if I remember that. And maybe a couple other sports you can find in the Bible. So basketball's not, as far as I can understand. The Bible doesn't address all of these things specifically. So what we have to do as Christians, we have to get into the Word of God, find the principles, and say, how does this principle apply to my life? I don't have a specific command for this. What do I do in this case? I'm trying to untangle all these issues of life, and they're all tangled up, and they all touch each other. And as a parent, as a young person, as a Christian, I need to get into the Bible and learn to discern, find the principles so that I can discern them and apply these principles about influence. Influence is extremely powerful, extremely powerful. If somebody has influence over you, they can determine what decisions you make. Isn't this a scary thing? Somebody else can decide my decisions, can make my decisions for me if I give them influence in my life. It's very important for us, especially as parents, to understand if somebody has influence in my kids' lives, then they have the power to control the direction my kids go. They have the power to control the decisions that my kids make. So I've got to be very careful of what influences I allow into the lives of my family members. Influence is extremely powerful. The wrong kind of association, the wrong kind of friend, the wrong kind of influence can ruin your life. It can ruin your children's life. It can ruin your parents' life. As a parent, you have a very good reason to fear that bad attitudes and behaviors will rub off on your kids. I'm not telling you to be scared. I'm telling you, think ahead about these things. Get into the Bible. Understand what principles have to do with influence. Apply those to your life, apply those to your family, so that you can control what influences your children. Bad attitudes rub off on other kids. Have you ever noticed that? I remember my parents, it's a fuzzy memory because it was a long time ago, my parents went away to a conference somewhere, and I stayed with somebody else, some other family, and when I got back, I remember one of my parents, I don't remember which one it was, saying something like, maybe we shouldn't let you spend time with those kids because you've got a bad attitude now. Isn't it interesting? The kids that you spent time with when you were young, how you would say those words that those kids said. Maybe you didn't even know what those words meant, but you'd come home and say something that you heard on the playground or you heard at school. You get in trouble with your parents. Why? Because you were influenced by somebody else. Bad attitudes, behaviors, they do rub off on us. They rub off on our kids. We've got to be extremely aware of influence. I'm going to share some stories with you from the Bible this evening just to help you to understand how important this is. I'm not going to take a long time on each one of these stories, but I do want you to see them. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13. If you've been to a youth revival, if you've been to a youth conference, you've probably heard a message from 2 Samuel chapter 13. Because there's this man named Amnon, And while I won't go into all the details of the story of Amnon, we understand that Amnon was influenced by his friend to defile his sister. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1, the Bible says it came to pass. Amnon was one of King David's sons. King David, the sweet shepherd, the sweet psalmist of Israel, had this son named Amnon. I'll read the story to you. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. So you've got these three half-brothers and sisters here. Absalom and Tamar were brothers and sisters. They have a half-brother, same dad, different mom, named Amnon. Amnon, the Bible says, loved Tamar, probably more of a lust type of a love. Verse number 2, and Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. And here's the phrase that we're going to look at, and we're just going to move along. But the Bible says this, but Amnon had a friend. Amnon had desires that were wrong desires, and he wasn't going to do anything about those, but he had a friend. Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. If I'm reading that right, it would have been not just a friend, but a cousin, if I'm understanding that right. Jonadab was subtle. So here's the bottom line of this story. You can take a look at that later if you want to. Amnon had this subtle friend named Jonadab who enabled him and encouraged him and instructed him to do something that he wouldn't otherwise have done. The Bible says Amnon had this friend. Without going into details on this story, we'll look at some of these other stories in just a moment. I want you to understand, Amnon may not have done anything wrong to his sister Tamar had he not had this bad friend. If he had not had the influence of Jonadab in his life, he may have been fine. He may not have done this terrible thing to his sister. Would you go to Judges chapter 16? I want you to understand this influence. Here's what parents do. I heard a parent say this yesterday. Now, they'll say it about religion, but they believe the same thing about friends. Here's what parents will say. I'm just going to let my kids decide for themselves where they want to go to church. I'm just going to let my kids decide for themselves what they're going to believe, if they're going to believe in God or what they're going to, they're going to go to Catholic church or they're going to go to, a lot of times, this is what the conversation went like yesterday, if they're going to go to a Catholic church or whether they're going to go to a Christian church or even a Jehovah's Witness church. And I'll just let my kids make that decision. A lot of times, parents will say the same thing about friends. I'll just let my kids make that decision about what friends they have. Listen, understand this. The influence of our friends upon us is incredibly huge. We need to be very careful to guard that influence. You've heard of a man named Samson, Judges chapter 16. You've also heard of a person named Delilah. Samson and Delilah. What happened here? Well, we're not going to go into the whole story, but I will tell you this. Delilah used her influence over Samson to ruin his life. You may remember the story. She acted like she loved him for her own selfish gain. She acted like she loved him. And he fell for it. Why did she act like she loved him? Well, because the Philistines had come to Delilah and said, listen, if you can convince him to tell you the secret of his strength, each one of us will each give you 1,100, I think it was pieces of silver that they were going to give to Delilah. She knew what she was doing. She knew that if she could get him, Samson, to tell her his secret, she could tell that to the Philistines. The Philistines would do whatever that was, and they would eventually kill him. Delilah knew that she was getting paid to kill this person that she was pretending like she loved. That's the bottom line of this story. What did she do? Delilah used her influence over Samson to ruin his life. Judges chapter 16, verse 5. We'll pick up the story there. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. In the next verse, and Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherein thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Doesn't that sound pretty front? What can I do to kill you? Can you tell me where your strength is? If I, hypothetical question, Samson, if if I was to want to, you know, hurt you or, you know, overpower you or, you know, anything like that, what would I need to do? Where's your secret? And you remember, he didn't tell her right away, but she kept after him day after day. The Bible shows us that her influence, and she kept asking, and she wore him down. She got to the point where she was crying. I said, Samson, if you love me, you'll tell me. Big alligator tears, you know, cue the alligator tears. You don't love me. If you loved me, you would tell me. This is all just, she's the one that was acting, and she's accusing him of acting like he loves her. And you would tell me. Eventually, he gives in. Eventually, he tells her, well, if you cut my hair, that's where my strength is. That very same day, I believe it was, she told the other Philistines, they came in, they cut his hair, they shaved his head, he lost his strength. They took him, they afflicted him, they put him in the prison, in this dungeon, where he would push a bar around a stone pole or metal pole, and he would grind wheat, eventually leading to Samson's death. What happened? Samson was influenced by somebody that wanted to destroy him. Samson allowed somebody to have influence over his life that didn't have the best for him. It was a person who had selfish goals and selfish ambitions, but Samson let her influence him. In Genesis chapter 34, if you want to turn there, there's a young lady named Dinah. I know what you're thinking. Someone's probably in the kitchen with her. Let me pick up these hangers here. A lady named Dinah. Dinah was the only girl in the family of Jacob's sons. Genesis chapter 34. I want you to see how fast this influence happened and how awful it was and how quickly things just went wrong. Genesis chapter 34, verse 1. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. There's a whole sermon right there that we're not going to go into tonight. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. So what happened here? Dinah stayed pure until she spent a day with the daughters of the land. She went out to see the daughters of the land. Hey, what's everybody doing here? What do the people around here do? What are the locals? What do the locals do? I want to go hang out with some new friends. I want to go see what the pagans are doing here. I want to go see what the heathens are doing here. In one day, she went out, she made some new friends. The prince of the city of Shechem saw her, and the Bible says, lay with her, defiled her. One day was all it took to be influenced to the point of committing adultery with a stranger. It was just one day. This is the power of influence. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, can you turn there? We're going fast so that we can be done fast. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. You've got a king here, and this was actually a good king. He was a king over Judah. It happened to be at the same time period where there was also a king over Israel named Ahab. How many of you remember Ahab? Ahab, a wicked king. All right? The king we're going to talk about, his name is Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is the king. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse number 1. The Bible says, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. Now, Jehoshaphat's a good king. Ahab is a wicked king. But Jehoshaphat decides, you know, I'm going to team up with Ahab. I know Ahab's a wicked king, and I know they serve Baal. And I know it's against God, but maybe this could be mutually beneficial. Maybe we can work something out. Maybe I can reach him and bring, I don't know what he was thinking. He joined affinity with Ahab. 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse number 2. Now we've got a prophet named Hanani coming out to talk to Jehoshaphat. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Just a long story here. I'll try to summarize it here in just a very short story. Jehoshaphat teams up with Ahab. They end up going into battle. Ahab says to Jehoshaphat, it's just a crazy thing. Ahab says, here, look, I'm just going to dress like a plain ordinary soldier so I can hide and kind of fit in. You dress like the king, and I don't know why Jehoshaphat fell for this. You be the one they shoot at. I'm going to just look like everybody else. Jehoshaphat said, okay, let's do that. So that's the way they went to battle. This is the battle. Ahab's in the battle. They're fighting the battle. They really don't even know who Ahab is. He just looks like one of the other soldiers. The Bible says a certain man drew a bow at a venture. Maybe it's his last arrow. We would call it a Hail Mary, right? He took his bow and just kind of didn't even aim. Just shot it out into the, there's enemies out there. I'm going to hit one of them, right? And just launched it out there. The Bible says that one arrow came and smote Ahab in the back, right? In the buckles, I think is what the way the Bible describes that. In the back of his armor. That's the Ahab, that's the Jehoshaphat. Now look at 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse number 5. Jehoshaphat has made affinity with Ahab. Here's what he does. Whenever you make friends with somebody, you're giving them influence into your life. Be careful who the friends are who you give influence into your life. It didn't just affect Jehoshaphat. Verse number 5, 2 Chronicles 21, 5. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. Jehoram is Jehoshaphat's son. Jehoshaphat he passes off the scene. His son Jehoram comes in. 32 years old, he becomes the king. Look at verse number 6. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. Now, why do you think? Now, the way of the kings of Israel was a sinful way. The way of the kings of Judah and Jerusalem, some of them were right. Some of them were not right. But the way of the kings of Israel was always wicked, serving Baal and all these wicked things. Why do you think Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, walked in the way of the kings of Israel? Well, his father made friends with the king of Israel and allowed the influence in his life. Jehoshaphat allowed the influence of Ahab in his life, and now his son walks in the ways. It's meaning that he is a wicked man, but it doesn't stop there. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. Look at this. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. Okay, there's our connection. Jehoshaphat makes friends with Ahab, and their kids get married. And now Jehoram has married Ahab's daughter. Ahab's daughter brings her false gods in. And now Jehoram, the king of Judah, has been influenced to the point where he is a wicked king. The Bible says he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Do you see the power of influence? Jehoshaphat may not have seen this at the time. He may not have thought, you know, if I make friends with an evil man, I wonder if my son might fall in love with the daughter of that same evil man. The influence that we allow into our life is incredibly, incredibly powerful. Jehoshaphat joined with Ahab. God's wrath was upon him because of the friendship. His son became a wicked king because he married Ahab's daughter. Our choices of what we allow to influence us are incredibly, incredibly important. I've got another one I want to share with you, and this is a man named Rehoboam. You may remember the story of Rehoboam. Now, I'm just trying to give you several in trying to help you understand the importance of influence. Rehoboam is King Solomon's son. The way I understand it, King Solomon wrote to the book of Proverbs so many times he said, my son of sinners enticed, he consent thou not. Who was the my son? That my son most likely was Rehoboam. Rehoboam becomes king now. 1 Kings chapter 11, we see this story picking up about Rehoboam. And I just want you to see, you know this story, most of you do, but I want you to apply it to this thought of influence. What kind of principles do I need to have in my life and my family's life to protect against bad influences, bad associations, and to protect my identity? I don't mean like what's in your wallet, like protect your identity like that. How do people see you? Who are you? You become like the people that you spend time with, so we need to protect that. 1 Kings 11, verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. There's more influence. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Who would have thought, let me stop here, who would have thought that Solomon would turn away from God? Solomon, the one who built the temple and And God granted him his prayer for wisdom. I believe Solomon saw the temple being lit by fire miraculously as God sent fire down from heaven to light the fire in the temple. As I read that, that's what I understand. He saw Solomon knew God, but still his wives turned away his heart after other gods. Chapter 11, verse 5, for Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrifice unto their gods. Here's Solomon. I'll get to Rehoboam in a minute. I jumped ahead of myself. Solomon, the wisest man in the world, influenced by the, was it 300 wives and 700 porcupines? Is that what it was? The 1,000 women that Solomon had in his life, they influenced him. To the point where he built these altars and he actually worshiped gods that he didn't even believe existed, but he did it because of the influence of these wives. Rehoboam, 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 10, I'll read this to you. The Bible says that Rehoboam listened to the influence of his peers instead of the wise older men and lost most of his kingdom. Here's the verse, 2 Chronicles 10, 8. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him that stood before him. Rehoboam, Solomon's son, instead of allowing the older, wiser men to influence him, allowed his own age group to influence him. This is just a great principle, to get counsel from older and wiser people rather than people in your own age group. If you're a teenager, don't ask other teenagers for advice. If you're a young married couple, don't ask other young married couples for advice. Ask somebody that's been there a little while. At my age, I'm trying to ask older people for advice, older pastors for advice. I don't want to get advice from the younger pastors that haven't been there yet. I want to get advice from somebody that has been there. I want to get advice about being a parent from somebody who has raised children that love God. Listen, since influence is so incredibly powerful, and we're just about done, we need to control what influences us and our children. Well, we've got to control it. We can determine, in many cases, who influences us. A lot of the times we have that decision. We have that power to make that decision. We control the influences in our family by making decisions. I showed you the illustration with the hangers. The decisions aren't always black and white. They're not objective decisions, as if we don't care about what happens. These are very subjective decisions. We care very much about the people that are involved. We're not just making decisions about hypothetical situations. We're making decisions that affect real people that we love. We're making decisions that affect real people that we want to see succeed in life. We're making decisions that will affect real people who we want the best for. So we can't just say, we can't approach this flippantly and just say, well, whatever happens. Is it que sera, sera? Is that what that means? I hope I didn't just say something wrong right there. Laissez-faire? I can't speak like the French. They leave all these letters out of their words. Just let it go. Whatever happens, happens. And we'll just kind of roll with life. No, life's too important for that. The influences that we allow into our lives and our families, they're too powerful for us just to let things happen. We control influences as parents in our family by making decisions. We try to separate the people under our authority from negative influences. We try to encourage positive influences. The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, I wanted to bring one in and I forgot to get it. But I want you to imagine something. In my hand, I have I don't even know the right word for it. I'm going to call it a sticky ball. Sticky ball. All right? Have you ever been to the mall and there's a kiosk there and some guy's trying to sell you something you don't need? It's this little ball. Sometimes it looks like an egg. Sometimes it's just a colored ball. You could throw it against the wall. Maybe it's called a splat ball. You throw it against the wall and it just kind of splats right there. Sometimes they look like an eyeball. Have you seen the one that looks like an eyeball? All right? These are fun things. You can throw it at the wall, it'll stick. You can throw it at the counter, it'll stick. These are a lot of fun. And you can throw it on glass, and it'll stick, right? Just don't do it if you have to be the one washing the glass, or your mom has to wash the glass. You can throw it on, it sticks. Here's the thing. Your heart is like the sticky ball. Your heart's like that sticky ball. And, okay, so a sticky ball works great as long as you throw it on clean surfaces. Then you can pick it up and use it again. Throw it on another clean surface. Throw it on another clean surface. But what happens when you throw your sticky ball in the dirt? You pick it up, and what does your sticky ball have all over it? Dirt. If you throw your sticky, if you had brought your sticky ball to the garage sale and thrown it on some of the dusty items that we had at the yard sale, you pick your sticky ball up, pretty soon it's not going to stick anymore. Why? Because it's got so much stuff on it. It's got dust, and it's got dirt, and it's got little blades of grass and little dead bugs, and you've got all kinds of junk all over your sticky ball. That's your heart. And whatever you expose your heart to becomes part of it. It sticks to your heart. The more you expose yourself to something, the more like it you will be. And you will become like those things that you're exposed to. You can't drop a sticky ball in the dirt without it picking up the dirt. You can't expose your heart to bad influences and expect it to stay clean. It won't. It can't. Your heart will become like whatever it's exposed to. That's why the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now we understand why. If I drop my sticky ball in the dirt, I'm going to pick it up. It's going to have dirt all over it. If I allow an influence into my life, that influence touches my sticky ball heart, and I become like that influence. If it's a friend, it's a friend that listens to country music, and I start liking country music. This is my story, because my friend did. Friend that likes maybe oldies and old rock and roll and things like that, and they influence you. I don't know what your story is. Whatever friends you bring into your life, they stick to your heart. The music that you bring into your life, the entertainment, the movies, the things that you bring into your life. Listen, your heart's like a sticky ball. Whatever influences it, it sticks to it, touches it. So keep thy heart. Next week, we're going to start with some of those principles. What are the principles? Proverbs 15:1. I'm just going to read them to you. We're going to move on. The very first proverb that just spoke to me, and I thought, whoa, the Bible is real. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. What kind of person should I be around? Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Why? Because he influences me. I'll become like him. My heart's like a sticky ball. I would like to challenge you. We're done for tonight. I'd like to challenge you, as you read through the Bible, as you read through the Scriptures, look for those principles that have to do with influence. Look for them. Is this something that I should be aware of? Is this a type of person that I need to kind of keep my distance from? The Bible is loaded. I'm not going to go into them tonight. I'd be excited to do that, but I know it's been a long day. The Bible's so loaded with principles about influence that'll help us to make some decisions on who we allow into our life, what kind of influences we allow into our children's life and our life, so that we can continue to serve God right. Father, I pray that you would use this message as a challenge for each of our people. Lord, I believe that you gave us the warnings that we need. I believe you gave us the principles that we need to make the decisions that we need to make. We started off the message by asking some questions. Some of the questions seem pretty obvious. Some of them maybe not so obvious. Lord, I believe that the Word of God has the answers. Maybe not directly, but the principles are there. And Lord, I pray that you would help each of our people to make a decision. I want to get into the Word of God. I want to find those principles so that I can apply them to my life, so I can protect my family, so I can protect my heart from evil influences.